Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. This week, we continue our look at the cloud market through the eyes of distributors, this time offering a look back a bit with Greg Onoprienko. Most of you likely know Greg in his current role as director of cloud for Ingram Micro Canada, the first person Ingram has had in that role in this country. But you might not know the history that led him to that role. Before joining Ingram, Greg ran a solution provider business, one that bet the farm big on recurring revenues and eventually the cloud very early in the game. And it's that part of history that we'll explore in depth with Greg in this podcast. We'll cover the whys, whens, and hows of Greg's own cloud journey years ago, what he did right, what he did wrong, lessons learned along the way, and most importantly, what you as a solution provider in 2018 can take away from Onoprienko's experiences. It's a fascinating conversation, so let's get right into it. My stroll down memory lane with Greg Onoprienko. Greg, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Wanted to take a few minutes to kind of explore your life before Ingram, as it were. The subject, obviously, of evolving towards the cloud is one that many or all channel partners in 2018 are in the middle of living. But it's one that you lived out a little bit ahead of the curve.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the questions I get asked most frequently is, everyone knows me as the cloud director at Ingram Micro Canada, but yeah. they all want to know kind of what my past was and what qualified me for the role. So, very quickly, the first half of my career was spent working for large companies like TELUS and Ricoh and EMC, you know, kind of the big billion-dollar companies, kind of similar to the environment I'm in with Ingram. But it's the experience just before I joined Ingram that I think is most relevant. I founded my own company in 2004, an IT services focused company. It was called Eternity Business Continuity Consultants. So we're a business focused on, building high availability data center solutions and lots of professional services and that sort of thing. And whereas the company started as a project-based kind of on-premise technology-based company, it evolved over the years very quickly to be a very cloud-focused, cloud services, monthly recurring revenue business. And it was that experience over a 10-year period of me building that company that I think gave me the experience and the knowledge and the expertise to that I could bring over to Ingram Micro to help them build their cloud business here in Canada.
All right. And so where in that period with Eternity, I'm curious how soon you sort of saw cloud and recurring revenue and had that aha moment and thought that, that's the way this business is going to ultimately go.
Yeah, so first starting the company, we were project focused. So yeah. we experienced a feast or famine phenomenon that I'm sure a lot of value added resellers and other IT channel partners have experienced themselves, which is as you get rolling, you have some good months or good quarters where you're closing deals, you're closing projects, your professional services consultants are busy, so you kind of go through this busy mode. And then your funnel kind of dries up, so you dip back down, and there's a couple of months of lull where you need to kind of ramp the business back up, and then you get busy again for a couple of months, and it dips back down. And not an ideal way to run the business, both from a resource perspective and from a cash flow perspective. Yeah. So we did well over the first couple of years, very well actually, but the up or down cycle was kind of tough on us, tough on my stress and my mental health. So I realized there was a better way to do it, and it was actually an Ingram Micro seminar that I attended. They had an all day workshop back in, I'm going to say, 06. 07. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a managed services themed workshop at the time, but it was all around building a recurring revenue business and the best practices that you need to adopt and the methodology and the discipline that you need to adopt to build a successful recurring revenue business. And 8 hours later, that was my aha moment. I got back to the office and immediately announced that we had to get out of this kind of project-based on-premise business and get into a monthly services business as quickly as possible. Just for, you know, for all the right reasons, building a steady monthly recurring business and building it up over time, if you do it right, it eliminates the ebbs and flows of that cash flow challenge. And so that was the turning point right there. And then we, you know, kind of one by one, we started to introduce versions of our solutions in a monthly fee model. Uh-huh. And, you know, fast forward to the end, it was absolutely the right decision. Very, very difficult, very challenging to transform a company from one model to a completely different model. But in the end, it was absolutely worth it.
Well, you know, you touch on the challenges. We often hear, you know, a variety of challenges in making that transition from a quote-unquote traditional VAR that's largely project-based to the more recurring revenue model. And one of the big ones is the one that you touch on as one of the reasons for making the moves, which is cash flow. It's one of those things where recurring revenue models are certainly wonderful to have the second and third year of that, but that first year and the first couple of years even can be kind of tough when you're used to having the big, you know, the big hunt and kill to go to kind of the more farming approach of building something over time. Can you speak a little to how Eternity managed that?
Yeah, if there's one mistake I made during that whole process was probably shutting off the old model too quickly and moving to the new model. It was a shock to the system because you're right. The you know, when you're closing, you know, on-premise technology business or project-based pro services, you know, you're getting big spikes of you know, an influx of cash, right? And it's sporadic, but at least that you know, the cash on those deals does show up and kind of propels your business. We literally very, very quickly started sacrificing those upfront cash deals for this monthly fee model. And the shock to the system was severe, almost bankrupted us, to be perfectly honest with you. But, you know, but we survived and we pushed through it. And it's just, you know, kind of very gradually built up this recurring business. But you need to change really everything about the company. You got to manage, you know, the financials differently. You got to manage the forecasting differently. You've got to change your sales team and the compensation associated with it. Yeah. Operationally, there's a lot of changes to it. From a marketing perspective, you need to change as well. So there's probably eight different, you know, areas of the business that we recognized that we had to change systematically in order to successfully transform the business. And it took a couple of years to get through that process, but once we got to the other side, it was smooth sailing, and we built a very successful company that I ended up selling a few years ago and exited quite well.
All right. Now, the early stage was all about the move towards recurring revenue and managed service, which makes obviously a lot of sense given the timeline that was in. That was certainly when that was, you know, that was sort of where the market was going. Cloud, as we know it today, has sort of come out of that in the channel and looks very similar in terms of business model. But at what point did you start to realize that, you know, start to engage in a more, you know, more cloud-like fashion, I guess?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, when we started transitioning the business model, again, it was probably 06, 07, 08. Mm-hmm. I don't think the word cloud was really being used back then, even though that's kind of what we were doing. So what we did was we introduced a series of monthly services to our customers, whereas before we were, again, selling on-premise technology and projects. We said, you know, I think we rolled out a cloud backup service as one of our first services. There was a cloud security service. Then there was a cloud remote monitoring and remediation service. There's a cloud business continuity planning, disaster recovery planning as a monthly service. We eventually rolled out what was to become a hosted server, a hosted infrastructure type service as well. So a few different services that made up our portfolio of cloud services. And then we latched onto that whole cloud theme and really started marketing ourselves as a cloud company. The portfolios of services that we started selling, we coined the term Sky Center for the name of the services. So the cloud buzz was starting to happen. You know, we spent the first couple of years really educating people, because before you could sell them a cloud service, you had to explain what cloud was and this whole, you know, concept of, you know, remote management and remote servers and remote systems sitting elsewhere and this sort of thing. So there was a lot of education in the early years. But once companies got their head around what the cloud value prop, and they embraced it, there weren't a lot of players back then to actually fulfill the services. So it was a big competitive advantage for us.
It must have been very different days crafting those first few solutions. You know, you describe some of the services offered, and as you're going through that list, a lot of them sounds like things that are sort of nowadays are a checkbox on on the Ingram portal or you know any other cloud provider. It's like all there, sort of more pre-built. Can you speak to sort of assembling solutions in those early days?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the one thing we didn't have back then was a whole library of cloud services. There were no cloud marketplaces where you could just go shopping online and select the various services. We had to build everything ourselves, right? So we had to invest. I mean, we had to open up our own data centers and buy our own infrastructure and hire staff to manage, the data center infrastructure, right? So you had to build it yourself back then if you want to deliver these services. Again, big investment, big risk financially to take that kind of burden on, but we were committed to it. And if we just said, if this is what we got to do, we got to do it. We believed in the model so much. But if you fast forward to today, I mean, Ingram Micro, we're just one option out there, right? We've got a full marketplace, a full portfolio of services that people can literally just sign up for and the next day they're selling. That wasn't available to us back then. It evolved towards that. But if you're a channel partner today, and you're either looking to get into the cloud for the first time or at least accelerate your cloud strategy, there's lots and lots of pre-built services and fully automated options to choose from. It's much easier to be successful at it today than it was back then.
And lots more awareness. That whole educating phase you describe, probably not quite so much a concern in 2018, 2019. What did you find worked when you were having those early educational conversations, especially for customers who hadn't really thought about the whole cloud model or heard of the whole cloud model? What worked to get them on side and to get them understanding what it was you were proposing?
Well, I think the part of the education, first of all, starts with identifying and highlighting the challenges of managing on-premise infrastructure. I mean, we were selling kind of, you know, purpose-built solutions, you know, cloud backup, for example. The education process started with identifying the headaches and the challenges with managing your own data backup solution. The fact that, you know, most of the solutions back then were either tape-based or they may have been disk-based, but the data remained on-site, and identifying the risks of storing your backup data on-site, and most people weren't getting it off-site back then. So just simplifying the process so that they understand that, you know, getting data off-site into the cloud was in their best interest, and we could, you know, do that cost-effectively for them. That was part of the education. It was a similar sales pitch for our remote monitoring services or our cloud security services. It's just educating them on the benefits of it's, you know, forget about cloud. It's a philosophy you're introducing to them where it's either they either want to own it and manage it themselves or they want to outsource it, and kind of highlighting the benefits of that whole outsourced mentality. And if you could successfully convince people that outsourcing was in their best interest rather than continuing to manage it on site, then it was, you know, if you could convince them on that, then it was just a question of, okay, which outsourcing option am I going to choose and run with? And then then we had them. We were in the driver's seat at that point, and then we highlighted all the benefits to use our company for that.
All right. Can you talk a little bit about how Eternity came to be acquired, and especially the role that your very high percentage of recurring revenues and cloud-based services played in that deal coming together?
Sure. Yeah. So when we first started the company, we were 0% recurring revenue. I would say by the time we sold the company 10 years later, we were probably 95% recurring revenue. So that tends to drive valuations of companies up. So if you know, other channel partners are looking for motivation to build a recurring revenue business, that might be one of them. But we were acquired by a company out of the U.S. called J2 Global. They're a billion-dollar cloud services business out of Hollywood, California. Mm-hmm. Really how we popped up on their radar was the cloud backup business that we built, and they were on an acquisition spree for specific cloud backup companies. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we had, you know, kind of they found us, and for a lot of reasons, it was the right time to exit the business. But it's worked out well for us. Over the years that I had my own company, I'd done a lot of business with Ingram Micro. We were actually a cloud channel partner with Ingram, mm-hmm. and I had the privilege of sitting on the North American Cloud Advisory Council for a number of years with Ingram Micro. So I got a, you know, really inside look at the cloud program as it evolved, and I got a lot, you know, got to know a lot of the executives, and really, you know, I'd like to say played a part in the strategy that Ingram ultimately developed. So when I sold my business, I actually stayed on with that company for a short period to transition the company and get them established in Canada. But when Ingram Micro called with this opportunity to become the cloud leader for Canada, their first ever cloud leader of the Ingram Micro Canadian business, for a lot of reasons, it made a ton of sense. I mean, my background, my experience, just, you know, building a cloud company, but also the fact that I had stayed so close to Ingram Micro through those years, I really had a head start when I came on board, and it was just too great of an opportunity to pass up.
Right on. You touched a few times on sort of how things are different today. What do you see? What are the biggest things that are different for a partner that's today in the place you were when you made that fateful decision to move towards recurring revenue?
Yeah, so I mean, one of the differences I've already mentioned, there are a number of established cloud services already out there that you can choose from. You don't have to build them yourself; they're already out there. It's just a question of doing your homework and finding out which ones are the best fit for you. There's the vendors have really evolved and matured. Again, back then there weren't a lot of vendors that understood the cloud. It tended to be small, up and coming vendors.
Right.
So the education, just the state of vendors in general is much stronger and much more positioned towards the cloud. You've got expertise available as far as coaching that exists today that didn't exist back then. I mean, Ingram Micro alone has 1,500 different cloud associates globally that do nothing but spend 24/7 on cloud. That's all they get paid on. That's all they work on.
Right.
There's a lot of expertise. There's a lot of knowledge there, a lot of experience there that channel partners can leverage, right? They pretty much any area that they need assistance on, we've got experts that can help them through that. So just that level of coaching didn't exist, 10 years ago. So a lot of resources, a lot of knowledge, not to mention that the customer's education about the cloud is in a completely different place than it was back then. So people don't need as much education anymore. They're fairly motivated to get there now for all the benefits that the cloud represents. And it's just a question of, picking the right horses, picking the right strategy, the right solutions, and executing on it.
Right. Do you find you're having the very 101 kind of conversation as much, or are we getting to the point where most solution providers have taken those at least those first steps on a journey towards recurring revenues, whether that's through cloud solutions or through managed services?
Yeah, so we launched something earlier this year with Ingram Micro called the Cloud Awesomeness Roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is really, it's a maturity model that it really communicates the evolution of a channel partner with their cloud strategy. So there's four different stages. You know, the build stage, kind of everyone starts at the beginning stage there where, you adopt one or two cloud services, and typically Office 365 is a place where a lot of channel partners start. So you bring one or two or three services on board, and you kind of get the hang of it. You're educating yourself as a channel partner how it works, and everything's still kind of a manual process though. But as you kind of get the hang of that, you move to the second stage where you start to bring a few more cloud services on board. You start to recognize the importance that automation plays, because everyone hits that same point where you can only have somebody manually crank out monthly invoices for so long until it gets, you know, just too cumbersome, too labor intensive. So you start to appreciate the benefits that automation brings. So you start to find a provider out there that can provide you these services in an automated fashion. As you move to the third stage, you bring even more cloud services on board. You start to probably take a look at a little more, you know, more complex cloud services such as infrastructure as a service, you know, whether it be AWS or Microsoft Azure. But you start to understand the value that those services are and the needs that your customers have. Again, the automation kicks up another level at that point where you really start to understand that it's not just an automated experience between the channel partner and the distributor or the vendor that's important. But you also start to appreciate the benefits that automation brings to the customers. And if the customers can experience a fully automated experience from start to finish, that's a real benefit as well. And then the fourth stage in our Cloud Awesomeness roadmap is a scale stage where the channel partner understands that the best way to scale the business moving forward is to get their own fully automated platform for the entire customer experience, right? So, it takes some time. Some partners go through it faster than others, mm-hmm. but you start with one or two cloud services and you slowly kind of get the hang of it. And if they're committed to it and they're on the right path, they end up with a fully automated engine with a whole, portfolio full of cloud services and an optimal customer experience.
All right. Brilliant. Wonder if we could kind of take your experience and kind of figure out what of it is still most relevant. I guess the best way to do that might be to simply say, what would you say are the one or two things that you did in your Eternity experience that would still be most applicable and best advice for solution providers today, and maybe a minefield or a mine or two that you stepped on. You kind of touched on one of them, but a challenge that that maybe you could have done differently.
Yeah, my advice to channel partners who are getting into the cloud or have maybe started but haven't quite accelerated their strategy, in my opinion, building a recurring revenue business or a cloud services business is not something you can dabble in. You have to be committed to it. You have to understand what needs to change within your own organization to fully optimize that shift. I mentioned a few of the points, right? You have to make operational changes to your business. You have to forecast your revenue and profit and cash flow differently. You have to understand that, your sales team and their compensation has to change. So there's some very specific things that you need to understand have to change with your business to become successful. And they got to commit all in. This is not something they can dabble with a little bit or dip a toe in the water and see how it goes. Mm-hmm. They have to understand it and then make the commitment that come hell or high water, they're going to shift that business. So that's the biggest advice I would give is understanding the commitment and making it and committing to evolve, wholeheartedly. As far as landmines go, I mentioned it already. The biggest mistake we made was shifting too hard too fast. You don't want to, just the financial shift to the business can be fatal if you don't do it properly. So you got to plan that out very carefully. And you got to be prepared to, as you're shifting the business model, you have to come to the realization that not all customers that you're selling to are going to shift with you. Mm. Right. I think a mistake that some companies make, and we made it early on as well, was the assumption that you're going to show up and announce your new business model to all your customers and all your customers will fall in love with it and move with you. And that's just not reality, right? Some customers will move with you. Some will move over time and some are just not prepared to shift with you. So you have to either be prepared to lose those customers or, minimize the focus on them and just kind of set your own expectations that they're not going to come with you. So that can be disappointing sometimes, but you're going to have to go find brand new customers that do understand and value the new model.
All right. As you mentioned that minefield of the landmine of going, going too fast, I wonder how much that might have changed. Certainly we've heard from Ingram in recent years a lot more flexibility and creativity in terms of financing that could perhaps help some partners as they make those changes.
Yeah, it's a great point. So Ingram Micro, you know, we help our channel partners in many different ways. But from a financing perspective, one program that is available, again, wasn't available when I was starting my business, mm-hmm. which could have come in handy, by the way, which is you know, depending on the factors and the situation, but Ingram Micro can offer you know, a buyout of managed services contracts to help inject some cash flow into the business. So in other words, if channel partners have a couple of contracts in particular that they're willing to sell to Ingram Micro, we can fund those deals up front. We'll take on the burden of you know, managing the monthly invoices and collecting from the customers and delivering an upfront payout to the channel partner. Understanding that ultimately the channel partner wants to build a recurring revenue business, but they may need some help along the way to get going. So taking advantage of this financial option with Ingram might be a good solution for them.
All right, brilliant, Greg. Any final thoughts on building a cloud business?
You know, just the fact that you know, I've been selling cloud services for many years now, probably 12 plus years. The cloud's been very good to me in my career. I think, you know, ultimately it's the customers will decide if they're going to the cloud or not, no matter what the distributor says or the channel partner says. Customers have to be ready to embrace that new model, but many of them will be, and it's just a question of making sure the channel partners are ready for that. The day will come when the customers will ask them for a cloud option, and if they're not prepared to deliver that, customers will not wait. They'll move to another supplier that can deliver those solutions. So I would just encourage every channel partner to understand what the cloud represents and have a strategy figured out. Even if it's not a cloud first strategy, at least have some options available so that the day comes when your customer comes asking, you've got some options for them to consider.
All right. Brilliant. Greg, thanks again so much for the time.
No problem. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
So there you have it, the history of one solution provider's cloud journey, courtesy of Greg Onoprienko. I'd like to thank Greg for joining us and being so candid, and thank Ingram Micro Canada for its continuing sponsorship of the show. And, of course, thank you for listening. We couldn't do any of this without any of you. There are a few possibilities for next week's edition of the podcast, so I'm not going to preview too much right now, but safe to say you can count on the channelbuzz.ca podcast showing up in your preferred podcatcher next Monday. But until then, I'm Robert Dutt for channelbuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.